Leaders of some of the world's biggest economies will meet in South America later this week, and one of the issues they could well discuss is the continuing conflict between Russia and Ukraine. Joining me for our weekly look at some of the top international stories in the coming days is the BBC's Rob Hugh Jones. And Rob, let's start with that skirmish between Russia and Ukraine this past weekend. What is each side saying about what happened?
Well, Mark, Ukraine accuses Russia of seizing three Ukrainian vessels. Ukraine says six of its crew members were injured and some 20 Ukrainian sailors detained. The vessels tried sailing on Sunday from the Black Sea port of Odessa towards the Kerch Strait. That links the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov between Crimea, annexed, of course, by Russia in 2014, and the Russian mainland. But they were blocked by a tanker placed under the Kerch Bridge. By the way, that bridge links Russia to Crimea. It was opened earlier this year. It was built by the Russians. The reaction has been fury in Kiev, protesters gathering outside the Russian embassy to protest. Our Moscow correspondent Steve Rosenberg has been hearing the Russian side of all this.
Moscow has laid the blame on Kiev. A spokeswoman for the Russian Foreign Ministry accused Ukraine of sending the ships towards the Kerch Strait in order to deliberately provoke Russia. The Ukrainian authorities reject that. They've accused Moscow of military aggression.
So, of course, Russia is calling this a provocation. Ukraine says it's nothing like that. It's a military aggression by Russia. I should just say there have been growing tensions between the two sides over access to the waters off the Crimean Peninsula for some time. And, of course, forces backed by Russia are still fighting Ukrainian forces in eastern Ukraine.
So, Rob, is it your expectation that this story will continue to be a thing for at least the next several days?
I think so, Mark, because this area is a flashpoint. The world community is watching what's going on in those waters off Crimea. Remember, this was a military-on-military exchange, essentially, and that's not happened for a number of years. Of course, Russia tells you that the people fighting, the patriots, as they call them, fighting in eastern Ukraine are not Russian military. This was military-on-military. So that's why it's causing a fuss in NATO, for example, who've been holding meetings. We expect a UN Security Council meeting, too.
All right, Rob, let's talk about another large international organization looking ahead to a big meeting of world leaders in Argentina at the end of this week, right?
That's right, Mark. And the Ukraine-Russia story, well, that may well feed into the G20 summit in Argentina. Leaders will begin to arrive there on Thursday. They include President Trump and Vladimir Putin. And, of course, people are looking at America and saying, well, if the Russia-Ukraine story develops, what will the US do? What will Washington do? So if Trump and Putin meet, then people will be watching that. But I think the more interesting meeting will be between Trump and Xi Jinping, the Chinese president. After all, the G20 was founded to promote international financial stability. And of course, the world's two largest economies, the US and China, are involved at the moment in a trade war. So what will happen when Xi Jinping meets with President Trump? Will they discuss the trade war? Will they discuss anything that would actually calm nerves in that respect? If you recall, Trump, of course, has imposed three rounds of tariffs on Chinese goods, totaling more than $250 billion. Mr. Trump's threatened to hit another $267 billion worth of goods. That would mean all Chinese imports into the U.S. could be subject to tariffs. And of course, the U.S. is China's number one export market. So the big question really in Buenos Aires is, will the president of China meet the president of the U.S. and will they discuss trade?
All right. Finally, Rob, this morning, it's World AIDS Day this coming Saturday. What does the global picture seem to be now?
It's an interesting one, Mark. This is the 30th World AIDS Day, and the theme at the moment is know your status. In other words, know whether you have HIV or not. In the past, large numbers of people have been living with HIV without knowing it and passing it on to others, including, for example, pregnant women and their babies. So that's why the UN and other agencies are focused on testing. Know your status. Know whether you have HIV or not. And the results are encouraging. Last year, 75% of people living with HIV globally knew their HIV status. That's 8% more than in 2015. And there's been a jump in those getting antiretroviral therapy.
And in addition to that good news, Rob, you've been looking at one country that's doing relatively well, right, in the fight against HIV?
That's right. One particularly good story here is Namibia in southern Africa. In 1996, HIV was the leading cause of death there. Now, the prevalence of HIV has dropped there by over 70% in the last decade or so. That really is good news. And here's the UN AIDS man in Namibia, Dr. Tharcisse Berihutu.
98% of pregnant women are having access to testing and to treatment. And we are now celebrating the huge achievement when in 2009, while still having around 18-20% of infection among babies, now we are under 5%.
So, Mark, it's good news from Namibia. Testing and treatment, those are the two principal focuses there. However, I should just say, before we celebrate too much, 37 million people around the world lived with HIV last year, and nearly a million died of AIDS-related illnesses. So, of course, the fight still goes on.
Of course. All right, that's the BBC's Rob Hugh-Jones. Rob, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.